do indeed thank our sister for those messages and song that bring us to Calvary and remind us of the goodness and of the love of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we gather here tonight, I would like to thank your minister for the kind invitation to come and to speak at this harvest service. It is a privilege to fellowship with you here up on Sandown and to spend time around God's precious word. I was just sitting there and I was looking at these apples and oranges sitting around me, and I was thinking back to my father. I remember him speaking about school, and if you weren't paying attention, the teacher had a habit of lifting the chalk and throwing it at you. And if the chalk didn't waken you up, then she lifted the duster and it went. So I'm thinking tonight, if there's anybody sleeping, the minister would have plenty of ammunition. Maybe up on the balcony you'd be safe enough. But it is good to be with you, and we do thank your brother for the opportunity and the invitation to be here this evening. Could we ask you to turn over in the scriptures to the book of Ecclesiastes and the chapter 3. Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter 3. We want to just read some verses, commencing to read at the verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to get and a time to lose. Time to keep and a time to cast away. Time to rend and a time to sow. Time to keep silence and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in it, wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men, to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. We'll end our reading there at the close of the verse 13. And we know that God will indeed bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's just still our hearts for a moment, and let's bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we tarry here in thy presence this evening, we do thank you, Lord, for every aspect of this meeting thus far. We do thank you, Lord, for the singing of the hymns. Lord, for those pieces that have been sang to us. Lord, that take our attention to the love and to the gracious provision that God has bestowed upon us. Our Father, tonight, as we tarry here, as we come, Lord, to look at thy precious word, as we come to remember your thanksgiving, your goodness to us at the harvest time, we do ask and pray that thou would take our thoughts and minds, Lord, to the things of the spiritual realm. Lord, that thou would cause each one in this meeting this evening, Lord, to remember that there is a spiritual harvest, and Lord, to be prepared to meet with God. Father, we ask this evening that thou would give us help from thyself. Lord, fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Grant, Lord, that help and that utterance that cometh from thee. And Lord, that above all things, Christ might be glorified and his name uplifted. For it's in thy precious name we ask all of these things. Amen. As we gather here this evening and we look around, we see the fruit and the various vegetables. And all of these things remind us of the harvest time. They remind us of God's goodness. And for the harvest, or for the farmers this year, they have to truly thank the Lord, for the harvest has been good. The weather has been great right up even into the month of October. And many of the fields are now bare. They've gathered in their silage and their crops. And they've got more cuts than they usually had. So the farmers ought to be happy. They should be rejoicing. If only we were down a few weeks ago at the national ploughing championships, and as you met the farmers, that was the question you asked. Are you happy now? Because they're always talking about the farmers, they're always complaining. But the farmers are happy. The crops have been gathered in, and we give thanks to God for His mercy and for His grace and for His goodness. And it's only right and proper that we gather together, that we pay tribute to God for what He's done for us. And what we do this evening is something that we find illustrated in the Old Testament Scripture. When you look at the laws and the commands that were given to the children of Israel, God instructed them at various times to gather together for feast and for celebration. If you look at the Old Testament Scripture, you'll find that God tells them of three particular feasts. In Exodus 23, in the verse 14, they're told, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. And the three feasts that they celebrated were the Passover. That Passover that takes us to the events of Exodus chapter 12, to that deliverance of the children of Israel. That reminds us of those words when the blood was painted upon the door. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a blessing that is to the child of God. What a thrill that brings to our heart this evening as we remember the Passover. The price that was paid by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. But for the nation of Israel, they were to remember the Passover. The other feast that they were to recall was the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of the Passover would take place. Then 50 days after that, you had the Feast of Pentecost, that word Pente indicating the 50, and there they had another celebration. It reminded them of God's goodness, and it marked the beginning of the harvest. The farmers had been out in the field. The ground had been prepared. They had begun to sow the crops. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles, that feast that marked the end of the harvest. And there the people would gather together and they would bring of the good things that God had blessed them with. They would bring it to the house of God, reminding them of God's goodness. Leviticus 23 in the verse 17, they were told, ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the harvest. And that was the time of Pentecost. Then the Feast of Tabernacles. They gathered in together. And they brought it all in and they give thanks to God. There in the Old Testament Scripture we have, as we could term it, the beginning of the harvest thanksgiving service. That gathering together. That feast of ingathering. Where they brought the crops in. The grain and the barley. They brought the loaves in and they paid tribute to the goodness and to the grace of God. That one who sent the rain and sent the sunshine and blessed them with it. And so as we gather here this evening, we come to that time of thanksgiving as we are reminded in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we come to thank God for what He's done. For what He's given to us. But you know, as we look at the harvest, and as we consider the harvest, there's not just the time of ingathering. There's much that is involved with that harvest season. There's much preparation that goes before it. There's much work that has to be done before we find the crops gathered into the barns. And for a few moments this evening, I want to take your attention and direct it to the very nature of the harvest. And to what it brings to our attention, all of these truths that we find brought within it. This particular chapter of God's Word reminds us that there are the various seasons. The verse 1 tells us, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, and a time to die. Time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, as you and I think of the harvest season, these verses remind us that there is a time of planting. That farmer that goes out into the field, that person that goes out into the garden, and they go out and they expect to harvest something, they'll find very little except weeds if there hasn't been that time of planting. There has to be a time of sowing. That time when the farmer will go out into the field, he'll go out with the machinery, he'll break up the soil, that is green, he'll turn it over, and you'll see the brown clay to the top, and he ploughs up the ground, he breaks it up, that it might be more receptive to the seed. And it is a work that needs to be done. If you want to have the crops growing, there has to be the ploughing. There has to be the time of preparation. There has to be that work that takes place. And again, as we mentioned the ploughing championships, the ploughing is something that has to be done very carefully. I remember one of the first times I was down, there was a fellow with me, and he was watching the farmers, and they would get the ploughs into the ground, and they would go maybe 6 or 7 foot, and then they would stop, and they would out, and they would adjust the machinery, and then they'd move another bit. And he says, what on earth are they doing? They're not just put the plough in the ground and go straight on and keep going, but they're adjusting, they want to get it right. That score has to be the right depth, it has to be turned over perfectly, that the job might be well done. The ploughing had to be done. There had to be preparation. They had to be careful about it. And as they ploughed the field, they would put a marker in the distance, and their eye was fixed in it to plough straight. And how the Scripture reminds you and I that as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to plough that straight furrow. We're to set something in eye and target the Lord Jesus Christ, the well done of God. It is to be our marker, and we're to keep our eye fixed on that. We're not to deviate to the right or left. We're not to let the things of this old world, its pleasures and its enticements, we're not to let them draw us aside. We're to be a people focused. People focused on the will and on the purpose and on the plan of God. Farmer goes out and he prepares the ground. It has been steel. He wants that fresh grass. He wants that new crop. And how, as you and I think of that, we're reminded that even as the saints of God, how our lives can get stale. How easy it is for the Christian just to get into a routine. You open the Bible in the morning and you maybe say a few words in prayer, but do you really focus on the Word of God? Do you really spend time with the Lord? You come to church on the Lord's Day and you come in the morning and you go home and you come out in the evening, but do we think about the Lord? We can get stale. That communion that we once had with the Lord that was so sweet and so tender, it's become regimental. Our life has just become a list of do's and don'ts, and we have really lost out with the Lord. You see, there needs to be that ploughing up, that breaking up of the ground, that breaking up of our heart, that breaking and complaining or repenting of any sin in our lives, that getting right with God. So easy to get in just to that rut, as it were, that routine of doing things, without the love and the joy and the pleasure that ought to be there. The farmer goes out the ground, he's been grazing it for a number of years. The cattle need the fresh grass. It has to be broken, it has to be turned. And our lives at times have to be broken. Sometimes God has to take us and shake things a little bit, as it were. Has to break up the ground, has to cause us to think, has to take us out of the normal routine, that we might lift our eyes to the Lord, that we might focus afresh on where we stand and how we're walking with Him. Our labours, our work for Him ought not just to be regimental, it ought to be stirred by love. We think of the Apostle John over in 1 John 4 in the verse 19. And he says, we love Him because He first loved us. Child of God, this evening, as we look at our walk with the Lord, as we look at our spiritual life, do we need the plough to run through it? Does there need to be that brokenness of heart? That time spent in tears, that reviving of our own hearts and lives? My, the psalmist in Psalm 85 in the verse 6, he utters that cry. He says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And we need that spirit of revival within our hearts. Church of Christ needs it today. That stirring up. That getting ourselves back to the place of prayer and getting ourselves into that sweet fellowship with our God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Farmer goes out to prepare the ground. There is the use of the plough. Then there is the use of the harrow. If you look at the newly ploughed ground, you'll see the stones in it. You'll see what we term the sods, the lumps of clay that are there. The harrow needs to go through. It needs to be broken up. It needs to be made nice and fine. Does it not remind you and I that our hearts can get hard? Our hearts can get cold. They can get bitter. My, we need to have that brokenness within us. There needs to be that love, that grace. The psalmist again in Psalm 51, as he comes and pens those words, and in the back of his mind is his sin with Bathsheba. He's departed from God. And there in the verse 17 he says, The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know that word that's used there, broken, it means crushed. Not indicating that the will of the child of God is to be crushed, but rather that we are crushed as we consider Christ, as we consider all that He has done for us. Our will is to submit to His command. We're to be a broken people. We are to be a people that display in our lives the fruit of the Spirit of God. We're to sacrifice, as that little text reminds us, that sacrifice of our time, our talents and our money, but is it a brokenness of heart? Those tears that have been shed for loved ones in the family circle, those tears, have they been shed for men and women in the church that are unconverted? Have they been shed over our own feelings? Oh, we think of the harvest and we think of the ground. There's that brokenness that needs to be in our hearts even this evening. We look at the scriptures and we think of old Pharaoh, as we read of him there in the book of Exodus. The plagues that are sent unto the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh says to Moses, take them away and I'll change my mind. And they're taken away, but the hardness returns. Maybe there's one here in this meeting this evening and God has been dealing with your heart. God has been speaking to you about getting right with Him. And it seems as if your old heart gets harder every time. Give me another chance. Give me another opportunity. And your heart gets hard against the things of God. Perhaps death, sickness, come your way. Perhaps an accident has come your way. And you've sat down and said, well, I need to get my life sorted out. I believe that these things have caused me to think I need to get right with God. And then you leave it. And that's foolish. You can't play about with God. You may make a fool of this preacher. You may make a fool of friends and family. But you can't play with God. And the Spirit of God moves. You need to get right with God. But as we think of the harvest, there is that time of preparation. But there is also the time of sowing. Once the farmer has the ground broken, the sod is turned over, then there is to be the sowing of the seed. We think of the parable in Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 13 in the verse 3. And there we read, a sower went forth to sow. The farmer has the ground prepared. He doesn't just go in and sit down in the house and say, well, that's that bit done. I'm waiting for the grass to grow. He has to go out and sow the seed. And that parable reminds us that there's the different types of ground. There's the stony ground. There's the wayside. There's that place where the birds of the air take it away. And there is that good ground that brings forth a crop. But it has to be sown. The parable points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a sower. He is the one that is sowing the seed. And so you and I, as God's people, we are reminded of the gospel seed. We have good seed here in the Word of God. We have the best of seed. I remember when I built my house and we were sowing out the lawn. We got lawn seed from a local agent, and we spread it out after a wee while the grass come. But there was a whole lot of weeds in it too. And we discovered there was a bit of a mixture in it. It just wasn't that pure of itself. But you know, when it comes to the Bible, we have the gospel seed. We don't need to add to it. It's perfect. That message that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to bleed and die for sinful men. Christian friend, we have a message today to take forth. We have the good seed of the gospel to tell to those that are around us. The Lord Jesus Christ, He was the sower. Sowing the seed. There's work, there's labor. That reminds you and I that to spread the gospel message, there's work and labor. We may need to go out with the gospel tracts. You may need to knock the door. You may need to lift the phone and speak to a friend and remind them of the danger of their sin. Warn them of the eternal consequences if they die as they are outside of Christ, and point them to the hope that is to be found in the Savior. There is a time of sowing. We gather here and we rejoice in the good things that are around us in the harvest. But if we ever want a harvest, there has to be a sowing. There has to be work. There has to be time. There has to be witnessing. There has to be prayer. Laboring for the cause of Christ. We're warned, we're instructed to be faithful in the Word of God. Galatians 6 in the verse 9, it tells us there, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful challenge to the heart and life of the child of God.
Are we sowing? Are we involved in that work? We're not to be weary in it. C.H. Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, he preached that particular text, and he was preaching it at a Sunday school conference, reminding the teachers that the work can be weary. The work can be hard. You can get the children and they may be not set, they not listen, they not behave, and it can be wearisome. But for the Christian friend, we're to persevere. We're to press on. And there is that promise, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You think of the great evangelist, D.L. Moody. Sunday school teacher went out after that young man and spoke to him about the things of God, and he got gloriously saved. There was a perseverance. You and I don't know who we're meeting. We don't know the potential in the life that we interact with, the person we're speaking to. My, if the Lord saves them, we don't know where he will take them. They could be a missionary, they could be a minister. And they could be someone that just in their local neighborhood spreads the gospel to those that are gathered around. As you and I think of the harvest, we're reminded that as God's people, we are to be those that sow. But you know, after the sowing, there is a time of growing. And over in Isaiah 28 and the verse 24, we read these words. Doth the ploughman plough all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and gather the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? See, the question been asked here, is it the continual job of the farmer just to plough and to sow? No, there's a time of waiting. The preparation has been made of the ground, the good seed has been planted in the ground, and then we have to leave it to God. That's the hardest bit sometimes. You and I, as we are involved in the work of God, it's hard to have patience and wait on the Lord to do His work. But it's something we cannot do. Salvation is of the Lord. For the farmer himself, when the sowing's done, there's other business to attend to. He watches out into the field and he's looking for the green shoots to appear. And why, when they do, they're evidence of life. The seed has germinated. Progress has taken place. You know, it's the same with the Christian. Whenever we spread the good news of the gospel, when men and women get saved, then you're watching. That young person, that older person, they profess faith in Christ, and you're just watching for the green shoots. You're watching from at the house of God. There at the place of prayer, you're looking for the interest in the Word of God. And what an encouragement it is to see that growth, to see progress, to see advancement in the work of God. For the farmer, he's looking out and he's watching. And he'll see the green shoots and perhaps they grow for a while and they begin to bend over. They begin to lose the green color and they go a little brown. What's wrong? The ground's not right. They're not getting the proper nutrients. And how often that can be the case in the child of God. They start off well and then they begin to drift away. The roots are going into the wrong place. The roots are not getting the right substances. The Christian may not be in a place where they hear the Word of God. They're not spending time in the truth of Scripture. They're not getting all that is necessary to grow. There's not that communion. There's not that fellowship. For you and I that are saved tonight, we need to make sure that we have our roots, as it were, in the right place. Roots are going down and they're feeding upon the Word of God. That which is pure. That which is wholesome. For the child of God. For the farmer, it's a time of worry. Crop becomes stunted. It's not growing. There's no water. There's not enough nitrogen. The soil is too acidic. There's some problem that's there. And friend, tonight, if you're a Christian and you're not going on with the Lord, there's a problem. If you haven't advanced from where you were this time last year, then there's a problem. And you need to sort it out. You need to get yourself back into fellowship with the Lord. There needs to be that confession, that repentance, that getting right with the Lord, that feeding upon the pure word of truth. How is your life tonight? Are you going on with the Lord? I trust and pray you are. This old world that we live in, there's many temptations, there's many distractions. You and I need to be built up in our most holy faith that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Time of preparation.
time of planting, time of patience when the growing takes place. But then there is the time of reaping. What a thrill and what a joy that brings to the heart of the farmer when he sees the golden barley out in the field, waving there in the sunlight, and the colours is beaming upon it, and the head is strong. It's ready for the gathering in of the harvest. All his hard work and all his labour, here is the reward for it. God has blessed it. He's shone upon it, given the rain. Now it's time to gather it in. Harvest, the time of rejoicing, the time of thanksgiving. And yet as we look at the Word of God, we're reminded that the harvest time indicates separation as well. That grass that is grown in the field, that barley that is grown in the field, the scythe has to come in, it has to be mowed down. And you know, there's a lesson in that. The Word of God likens man unto the grass in Psalm 103. It says, as for man, his days are as grass. What does the psalmist mean? He's meaning just as the grass is mowed down, there comes a time when there's separation in your life and mine. There comes a time in the point of our individual lives when we leave this old world, when death steps in. We are separated from humanity, as it were, on this world in which we reside, and whither bound after that. The harvest, the time of reaping. Scripture brings to our mind various pictures of the harvest. There is the wheat and the tares. There the farmer goes out and the tares are mixed in with the wheat. And he leaves them to the harvest and he mows them down. And the wheat is brought into the barn and the tares are burned on the fire. You see, friend, this evening as we think of the harvest, we think of a saving of souls. We think of the sowing of the gospel seed and men and women putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it brings another picture. Brings to our mind that picture when the Lord of the harvest will deal with the souls of men and women. And if you're unconverted, then you're cast into the place of fire. That place where the fire is not quenched and where the worm dieth not. Yes, the grass is mowed down. You and I, as we look upon life, there comes a time when we will leave this old world. Where will you be going to? Will you be going as the wheat did into the barn? Will you be going into the kingdom of God with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or will you be cast into the fire? Friend, have you preparation made for that? Will you gather here tonight and you give thanks for God's goodness? But what about spiritually? Where do you stand? Are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Have you that assurance of that eternal home in the kingdom of God? You need to have. We're born in sin. Sin that is grievous in the sight of God, and we deserve nothing but God's wrath and judgment. There is salvation. It's to be found in Christ. Not in our own good works, not in a church, not in a denomination, but it's found in Christ. Have you had that experience of the new birth? I trust you have. We invite you tonight as you gather here at this harvest Thanksgiving to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be leaving it. The Scripture reminds us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Child of God, we speak of the harvest. That preparation, that patience, that growing, that planting, that reaping. And as a Christian family, we look forward to a reaping of precious souls. But for the unconverted, there's a day of reaping. Where will you be in that day? Our prayer and desire is that you will be found in the fold of Christ. That you will be gathered in, along with the saints of God. That you will enjoy the glories and the splendors of heaven. And that you will spend eternity with Christ. If you're not saved, come tonight. Get right with the Lord. Don't wait until tomorrow. Now is the time of opportunity. Come, repent of your sin, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust and pray that the Lord will bless His own precious word to each one of our hearts this evening. Amen.
And thank Reverend Robinson tonight for coming, bringing God's word. And we pray that there will be that time of reaping in your heart tonight. And as the word of God has been sown and been brought to your soul, that it will bear fruit in the salvation of your soul. and even for those of us who are saved, that will bear fruit as well in our lives. 242 is our closing hymn, 242, on the page 274. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. O be saved, his grace is free. O be saved, he died for thee. We'll sing verse 1 and 2 only. Verse 1 and verse 2, 242 standing to sing. Waiting till the morrow, thou mayest never see its light. Come at once, accept his mercy. He is waiting. Come tonight. Don't leave it. Summer is ended. Harvest is past, and you're still not saved. Come tonight. Don't leave this meeting without the Saviour. Come and accept him. If we can help you in any way, we'd love to speak with you. Make that need known to some of us. Come to Christ. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the Word of God brought to our hearts tonight. We thank thee, O God, for the preparation for the harvest. We thank thee, O God, for the sowing of the gospel seed. O God, we pray that tonight that seed will bring forth fruit in the lives of the unsaved, in the salvation of their precious soul. Bring forth fruit as well in the lives of every child of God. Lord, that our hearts will be stirred up to do greater things for thee. O God, we pray that you'll speak to every waiting heart. Take up our thanks for thy presence with us tonight and for the Word of God opened and read and brought before us. We pray, Lord, you'll help thy servant and continue to use him much down there in Fermanagh and in Keish. Lord, bless his ministry there mightily, we pray. And, O God, we pray now that as we take our leave of this house of God tonight, that thy presence will go with us. Lord, that thy presence will rest, remain, and abide upon us. Bless, Lord, tomorrow. Remember the funeral service tomorrow. We pray, Lord, as well then you'll come up with us in the evening time for the harvest service. Lord, we pray that you'll bring many out under the preaching of the Word of God. Bring in the stranger. Bring in the wayfaring man, we pray. And, O God, we pray that we'll have cause to rejoice in what Christ has done. Hear and answer prayer, for we pray it in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen.